It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running on this solstice other half program edition of the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that is, of course, where you go if you would like to participate in the Madcap Merry Multimedia Zany Wacky real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the hours in which this program is live. If you do that, you will be immediately greeted, having picked out a screen name, the password, you will be immediately greeted by Anatole and Hoghead and BT Blom. More to come later, I'm sure, because we haven't even thought about ringing the tardy bell yet. No, not at all. And you will, of course, be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. Apparently, it's not miserable, freaking rainy and cold or anything in Northern California this evening or this afternoon. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and tonight kicks off something that I don't think we've ever done here at the Horn. Tonight kicks off 7 days of fundraising free liberal, progressive, independent conversation radio, thanks to the Christmas, Hanukkah, Festivus, Solstice, miracle that happened last night. Now, we do have subscribers, and the subscribers have to be thanked in advance. Because they really do keep a lot of it going. Thank you very kindly to David in Vermont. And thank you very kindly to Joan in Talibandiana. Those are our subscribers for the 21st day of any given month. Thanks also go out to... Our dear friend Yuki. Thank you, Yuki. And thank you as well to Robert. Robert in Washington and Yuki. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. So that's it. There will be no further mention except the thank yous for 7 broadcast days. Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Because New Year's Day is, of course, on Monday. Yeah. So, program notes, just a reminder. There will, in all likelihood, be a Christmas on the Front Porch program Monday evening. And then Tuesday, the 26th, which is also Ferg's birthday, we will have a truncated version of this program from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, followed by me filling in for our buddy Mike Malloy over at Progressive Voices from 9 to 11. Mark your calendars, or as they say, please make a note of it. Yes. I'm guessing, in case you're wondering, I'm thinking no. There will not be a New Year's Night program because, well, I'll be engaged in that secular national ritual of watching college football. So there will not be a program Monday evening, January 1st. Okay? So that's pretty much everything. That's all the news from Mount Colby gone, and that should make our schedule it's pretty well set for the for the remainder of the year. Tweet coming in from Isaac. FYI, no White Rose stream. No, the high quality stream is not there, but I am informed that the 16K stream is coming through on TuneIn, so that means the 16K stream is working at White Rose. Remember, there are multiple streams at White Rose, and sometimes none of them work, and sometimes one of them works, and sometimes two of them, but on the rarest of occasions, they all work, but the 16K, Isaac, is working. Of course, we are streaming happily along at headon.live. Thanks to Brother Deacon Asa for that. That has been, well, that saved this program. Plain and simple, it saved this program. Given the troubles that we've had over the technical problems, software problems, attacks. Had it not been for the stability of the headon.live stream, we'd be squooed. So happy holidays, everybody. It is the 21st day of December. It's the solstice. From here on out, every day gets a little bit longer until, June. Labor man in the chat room asking, so who hit the lottery, Bob? Nobody hit the lottery, just to recap, since Labor Man wants to know. Larry in Liberalville put a $1,000 challenge on the table. I figured we'd still be talking about it. But thanks to Silent R. Lamar and a number of other folks like Yuki and Robert, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but there was a Charlene was in there. Renee jumped in. Renee in D.C. Donald jumped in, as did Chris from the far, far great, the great far north of the Northwest Territories. And so we're done with fundraising for 2017. And that's awesome. That is simply awesome. I don't recall a time like that before. And so that's where things stand now. But that's about as much of that as I want to talk about. Remember, of course, tomorrow, the 22nd of December, will be Friday on the Front Porch. But every Friday is Friday on the Front Porch. But Monday, Christmas night, will be Christmas on the Front Porch. And that should be fun. I hope it'll be fun. So, okay, thank you. Randy says, yes, it was also a Kwanzaa miracle. Thank you. Thank you, Randy. I appreciate that. Lots of holidays this time of year. So where to go with this here thorn in the side Thursday? We reserve Thursdays for those moments of right wing super genius that just feel like, yow, you know, a thorn. Yes, indeed. In addition, yeah, as Randy points out, no, we lambasted the Lithuanian, we nuked the Norsky, slobber-knocked the Swede, and crushed the Czech with what happened last night. So all of those challenges are met for the entire year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, thorn in the side Thursday here on the Horn. And given that there's all kinds of Christian overtones in the Western Hemisphere to this particular day, I wanted to take a moment to tell you about Christ-like chrysanthemum from the hard-working peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on the Twitter machine. Christ-like chrysanthemum. Yes, I bet you weren't even thinking about the fact that chrysanthemum was edible, but it is. And our hard-working peripatetic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals have selected only the finest, purest chrysanthemum petals, free-range, gluten-free, vegan, non-GMO, cruelty-free, and prepared them in a proprietary fashion and put them into tiny little capsules and put the tiny little capsules in somewhat larger bottles, and they're out there for you. Because, remember, we couldn't be a real professional radio broadcast if we didn't have some bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. And that's why this evening, as the as we move toward Christmas Day, I'm proud to tell you about Christ-like chrysanthemum from Horn Nutraceuticals. You know, I've never cared much for eating chrysanthemums or really any other kind of flower, with the occasional exception of a zucchini blossom. Those little suckers, when they're battered and deep-fried, are right tasty. But I have a feeling that's all in the battering and the deep-frying, right? It's kind of like Mars bars that way. But I've never cared much for eating chrysanthemums or any other kind of flower. But thanks to what's been done to create Christ-like chrysanthemum, I can tell you that you've never had a better chrysanthemum experience. And yes, we stand by what we say here. And if you order a 90-day supply of Christ-like chrysanthemum from Horn Nutraceuticals, well, we will send you a bundle of test strips. A whole bundle. And then you can take one of your Christ-like chrysanthemum capsules and pull it apart and dump out the proprietary vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, free-range, cruelty-free chrysanthemum powder and find out what we already know. That when it comes to chrysanthemum nutritional supplements, Christ-like chrysanthemum from Horn Nutraceuticals has absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. That's because it's a bullshit nutritional supplement like all the other radio programs hustle. Yes. Christ-like chrysanthemum. From Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. Try it for yourself. That 3-month supply will only set you back $100.52. Plus postage and handling, of course. Christ-like chrysanthemum. Accept no substitutes. Post no bills. This side up, upside down, FOB, COD, USA, USA, USA. That's right, labor man. That's the right attitude. Labor man says, I don't care if it's bullshit, as long as it helps my boner. And it absolutely will. and it'll help anything else you think needs to be helped, because anything that Christ-like chrysanthemum from Horn Nutraceuticals accomplishes is entirely in your imagination. Call now. Operators are not standing by, and it's not a free call. It's no call at all. Yes. The query coming in from Clarity. Will it make me have organic orgasmic orgone outcomes, Bob? The stripping is the real test. CLC and THC, Batteries included? Why, no, there are no batteries necessary with Christ-like chrysanthemum, Clarity, because it's solar-powered and renewable. There's no end to the miraculous properties of Christ-like chrysanthemum and all the other bullshit nutritional supplements from Horn Nutraceuticals. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not... Well, I mean, I'm hoping you're happy, and I know you are. Note coming in from Steve, formerly of New York. From frigid, snow-covered Ottawa, we are at 10 degrees and headed down to 2. I think the entire Horn family community congregation will join me, Steve, in thanking you for your note, wishing you happy holidays, and saying, fuck that! No, Jim, no, none of the nutraceuticals from Horn Nutraceuticals come in suppository form, although I suppose you could always dip one of our capsules in. No, let's not even think about it. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. You know what? It may be headed down to 2 in Ottawa. That means Ron in the far frozen north has apparently brought the brass monkeys in. But, damn, it was nice here today. First day of winter was a real winter. Beautiful, exquisite, cloudless blue skies, no wind. And it was warm enough that the fleece that I was wearing over top of my, synthetic polyester blend, stretchy, wonderful base layer, that fleece was too much. But I'm sure the nasty stuff will be here soon enough. I've laid in a supply of propane in anticipation of the cursed event. But anyway, it's 18 minutes past the hour, and we've taken care of all the necessaries now. Yeah, there's cold stuff coming, and I know it. But, ew. Thorn in the Side Thursday. Yes? Well, let's check back in. Let's check back in on Sassy's special friend, Roy Tolamore. Man, this guy's... this guy's good. Nobody runs a hustle quite like Roy Tolamore. And whereas we freely admit that all of our nutritional supplements are bullshit and not real and imaginary, and even if they were real, wouldn't do a goddamn thing for you, that ain't how Roy Tolamore rolls. He is one shitty loser. I mean, he's a loser. Even if he'd won the election, he'd still be a loser. Whoa, that's brutal. Robert from Oz, subject line, heat relief. Here in Sydney, we had 2 days of 100 degrees Fahrenheit, but it's now a pleasant 75. Wow, 2 days at 100 degrees Fahrenheit before the first day of summer, even. You might want to be laying in a few blocks of ice there, Robert. It sounds like it could get... But then again, just remember, climate change is a cruel Chinese hoax designed to, that's right, destroy America's ability to manufacture stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys. 20 minutes after the hour, and people are already trying to drag the program into the gutter. You'll have that, I guess. Devin asking, but what happened to anal arrowroot? I don't want to know, and if you find out, don't tell me. Okay? Yeah, very good. All right, little tiny jingle for Devin there. No, Roy Moore is a pissant. Roy Moore is according to credible evidence, a molester of little girls. But he does have a Jew lawyer. Remember that. I guess that's a saving grace, at least according to Kayla, whom he first set eyes on when she was a little teenage girl, tap dancing at a dance recital or some such, if you recall the story. Roy Tolamore is still not giving up in his quixotic fight to muddy up Doug Jones's victory. He went over to the Facebook, and you know, anything that has to do with a white winger, you know, birth or death or ninth, etc. You know, good God fearing, upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christian, and anything that has to do with one of those that begins with he went over to Facebook, you know, it's not going to end well. And of course, Roy Tolamore is a horrible, terrible, awful, bad, no good, really disgusting human being. You certainly wouldn't want to leave him alone with small children or, for that matter, livestock. So, with his bizarre brain completely eaten up by conspiracy theories, Roy Tolamore went to Facebook to complain about the fact that he's not going to get to be a senator. But you know, there's shitty, and then there's shitty. And Roy Tolamore is shitty. Because what he did is he went after Doug Jones's son. No, he really did. Why did he go after Doug Jones's son? Has Doug Jones's son been arrested 9 times? No. Has Doug Jones's son violated the established and published and duly enacted hunting laws of the state of Alabama? No. Has Doug Jones's son repeatedly violated the trespass laws of the state of Alabama? No. He hasn't done any of those things. Has he been arrested 9 times? No, he hasn't. Not at all. Has Doug Jones's son been arrested for drug possession? No. Were drug possession charges dropped against Doug Jones's son because his son entered a pretrial diversion program with the Pike County, Alabama District Attorney's Office? No. Has Doug Jones's son been busted for DUI both in Alabama and in Florida? No. Has Doug Jones's son been arrested 3 times on drug-related charges in Baldwin Pike and St. Clair counties in Alabama? No. None of that. You know why Roy Tolamore attacked Doug Jones's son? Because Doug Jones's son is gay. And by the way, all those things that I mentioned about the DUI in Florida and DUI in Alabama and drug busts in 3 separate Alabama counties and trespass and illegal hunting and drug diversion programs, all that shit, those are all things that Roy and Kayla's son, Caleb Moore, has done. What, however, raised Roy Tolamore's ire about Doug Jones's son? A headline. Doug Jones's gay son is thrilled by the Alabama win. That's it. That's all. It was an article posted at The Advocate. And that's the headline. Doug Jones's gay son is thrilled by the Alabama win. Unity wins out, Carson Jones declared in response to the surprising results of the Senate race. The article by Daniel Reynolds, posted on the 15th day of December. Carson Jones couldn't be prouder of his dad, Doug Jones, who beat the anti-LGBT Republican Roy Moore in a special election Tuesday for U.S. Senate seat in Alabama. I'm obviously thrilled with my dad's victory, said Carson. We've been overwhelmed by the support of so many people that made this happen. Alabama made a really big statement that unity wins out. I couldn't be prouder of him or my home state. And then this, and maybe somebody from the gay part of the community, the Horn Community Family Congregation, would like to opine. This paragraph: Carson confirmed to The Advocate that he is gay after several gay blogs posted articles compiling Instagram posts from the Democrats' quote, hot gay son. Carson defines himself as a southern gentleman, zookeeper, gym junkie, adventurer, and sushi addict. That's what he calls himself on his Instagram profile. Also on his Instagram profile, as the article notes, he's posted pictures of elephants. And he's posted pictures of his dad. He posted a picture of a pride parade. He's posted nature photos. And he posted a picture of an encounter with singer Lance Bass at a gay bar called Trax in Denver. There's absolutely nothing salacious. Nothing salacious whatsoever about anything in the article. But Roy Moore posted it as a slur. Because Roy Moore is a sick human being who still lives in a world where calling someone an anti-gay slur has relevance. Remember, 72% of white men in Alabama voted for Roy Moore. 63% of white women voted for Roy Moore. And those are the people for whom pointing out that Doug Jones has a gay son will have an effect, will confirm them in their disgusting, evangelical hatreds. Because that's who they are. But it wouldn't be a Roy Moore hate post. This isn't really shit posting. This is hate posting. If he hadn't also posted a story, how Muslims and Marxists delivered for Doug Jones. Yeah, no. Not at all. Muslims and Marxists. Call me Muslims. Islamo-fascists. Jesus, these people. Roy Moore lost. But the Republican Secretary of State of Alabama is dragging his heels in terms of certifying the vote. And that is absolutely disgusting. What else? I told you, Roy Moore's a pro. A few years back, Roy Moore and his wife founded a religious dodge that was centered on their hatred of same-sex marriage. And they paid themselves more than $1 million for running that foundation, that Christian think tank. And now he's got a brand new one. He sent out an email to the weird goddamn freaks who follow him and said, in this race, we have not received the final count to include military and provisional ballots. This has been a very close race, and we are awaiting certification by the Secretary of State. The heart and soul of our country is at stake. Uh-huh. And then the blast email went out. To the mouth walkers and knuckle breathers. And he said, he said he wants people to donate, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. He wants people to donate for his Election Integrity Fund so we can investigate and submit voter fraud cases and other ballot irregularities. You know, a little Christ-like chrysanthemum every morning, and you can get over those irregularities. Yeah, I know. I share your sentiment, hung like Jesus with the nose. Bob, what God do those Christians worship? Because I want to stay away from that evil bastard. And he is. Remember, I refer to him as the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. Mm-hmm. I also want to let you know this battle is not over. My campaign team is busy collecting numerous reported cases of voter fraud and irregularities for the Secretary of State's office. of course, this, you know, he's an evangelical Christian, so every word he wrote was, and I want to use exactly the right word for, a lie, because as we say here in the hills, the truth ain't in him. But he's going to investigate. He's going to investigate some voting irregularities, and he's going to need to get paid. Him and Kayla, and you know what? Even all these years later, she still looks mighty fetching in that little tap dancing costume. She tap dances for him every once in a while, just to make his withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave. It puts her hair up in pigtails and stuff. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm. He puts on Ringo Starr singing, "You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine." Mm-hmm. No, well, I think I just burned a few brain cells down to the ground. So there we go. It's going to cost about $1 million for him and Kayla to investigate all them fraudulent voting Muslim Marxist gay people, gay Muslim Marxists, because then God will spoke and make Roy Moore a Christian member of the new United States of America Senate, where Roy can go up there and get to work making America great again, like it was the last time it was great, which was back when they was still slavery, as Roy Moore noted. Yep. Note coming in from Steve in far frozen Ottawa. Marxist Muslims. Those aren't commie Muslims. Those are Muslims who really like the show You Bet Your Life. Okay, yeah, a little. Yeah, I'm generous with the jingles this evening. Mm-hmm. But what a scumbag, huh? There's never a bad time for an evangelical Christian to do some fundraising on some gay backs and some Muslim backs. Marxists, not so much. It ain't their money. No, red baiting, never out of fashion. Gay baiting, never out of fashion. Muslim bashing, never out of fashion. See what I did there? That was planned. And they've got this bullshit little controversy ginned up down in Alabama. It is in the truest sense of the word a non-troversy. But one of the, you know, a lot of people went to Alabama to work on the campaigns. I mean, hell, Steve Bannon came in from whatever shitty little toxic quadrant of hell he lives in. There are all kinds of evangelicals crawling all over the place, handling serpents and rubbing each other with oil and speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor and shit. People from all over, weirdos from all over. But the thing is, there were also people who came in, because it's kind of a thing that happens in American politics. People also came in from around the country to work for the Jones campaign, because they recognize the value in creating a fissure in the solid South. And so it was that one Doug Jones advocate excited, was interviewed in the middle of the Jones victory party. Katie Weiss from Fox 10 News in Pensacola, really, Fox? Surprise. Was at the Doug Jones victory party when she stuck her camera and microphone in the face of a young man and asked them how they felt about Jones's win. Now, these are all people who have worked to make Doug Jones a senator. So, hard-hitting reporter Katie Weiss asks the following question. Why are you excited to see this victory? And some random dude answered as follows. Because we came here all the way from different parts of the country as part of our fellowship, and all of us pitched in to vote and canvass together, and we got our boy elected. Now, this guy didn't, he didn't come from some other state and vote. But my God in heaven, the wingnutosphere. Oh, they shot the mercury shot right through the top of the wingnutometer, and they started into screaming, voter fraud, voter fraud. At which point, John Merrill, the Secretary of State of Alabama, who once noted that he wanted to make it hard to vote in Alabama so as to dilute the black vote. He said that, you know, out loud in front of people, like with a microphone. He was interviewed about what the young man said and said, well, it's very disconcerting when someone who's not from Alabama says that they participated in our election. So now it's incumbent upon us to try to identify this young man. See what kind of role he played, if it was to simply play a canvassing role, or if he was part of a process that went out and tried to register voters, or if he himself actually became a registered voter. Sounds pretty damned ominous, doesn't it? Of course, John Merrill, one of the 72% of white men in Alabama who voted for a child molester, said, we don't have any evidence of people doing that. Our numbers do not indicate that has happened. But when you have someone actually recorded on television saying that they voted and that's what he said, then we've got to get to the bottom of that. But then he also sort of deflated his own argument by saying, we have one of the most stringent voting laws in the nation. Meaning, Alabama does everything in its power to make it something approaching impossible for anybody who isn't the right shade of skin tone and the correct deficiency of dermal melanin, making sure that they don't vote. So it's gonna keep on being interesting. At some point in time, they will certify the vote, and Doug Jones will be a member of the Senate. But the longer that Secretary of State John Merrill can put that off, the happier those bizarre 72% of white men and 63% of white women in Alabama will be. And the longer that gives the white wing media in Alabama to try to cast some sort of pall over the legitimate and honest and earnest election of Doug Jones, who, of course, I have to note, is significantly lacking in ideological purity. Okay. All right. So that's that story. Other stories? Well, the House today prevented, of course, the Senate hasn't taken action yet, but the House today prevented a temporary spending measure that will get the government sometime into January. And every time one of these stories comes along, once again, just flabbergasted, not surprised, but it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The United States of America can't find its way clear because of a gang of birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, trumpansies, maggots, libertarians, Republicans, all can't find their way clear to just let the government operate for more than a couple of weeks at a time. You know, one of these days, this is going to affect our credibility. One of these days, they're going to fuck up and forget or something, you know, like they did with Chip. The Chip law expired on September the 30th. So that's 61, 81, 82 days. 82 days have passed. And the Congress of the United States, which is entirely controlled by Republicans, just hasn't been able to find the time to make sure that little children in this country can go to the doctor when they're sick. I mean, if you just sort of take that out for a walk around the block for a minute and get home with it, and you look at it and go, well, that's fucked up. Now, during those 82 days, they've done a lot of things. They've brayed about Uranium One. And they've barked about Crooked Hillary. And, of course, as we learned last night, they've managed to pass a $1.5 trillion at least budget-destroying tax cut package for for corporations and hedge fund managers and otherwise known as our betters, that they could find time to do. But make sure that little kids can keep going to the doctor when they're sick. Are you kidding me? We're out of money. The response of poor bragging Orrin Hatch, the man who sleezed and slimed all over Anita Hill, and for whom that is his the only legacy that he deserves, he sort of provided a little waypoint when he was being harangued. I like to think tormented, because I like the idea of tormenting Orrin Hatch. When he was being tormented by Sherrod Brown, who said, "Well, let's just do Chip right now. The entire Democratic Senatorial Caucus will come in here. We'll do Chip, and we'll be on our way." And nasty old Orrin Hatch said, "I grew up very poor. And I resent you confronting me with the facts of my hypocrisy, because I was poor one time. We had to live in a box in Lower Burl. And you know what? We ain't got no money for no sick children. The money's just not there." You know why the money's not there? Because they're giving it to the hedge fund managers. That's why. Evil bastards. But the priorities of these misanthropic monstrosities. So yeah, we looks like the government's not going to shut down a couple of days before Christmas. This is the third time since October 1st that the government has had to act to keep the government from shutting down. Because we can only do this a few weeks at a time. So now they pushed it into January. According to the AP report, Representative Nita Lowey, a Democrat from New York, said it was an epic failure of governing. The Republican majority has made a complete mess of the basics of governing. Well, no, not by their metric, ma'am. They're doing it exactly the way they think it needs to be done, because they control the government because they despise the idea of government and want to destroy the idea of government. So when they come back in January, the DACA issue will still loom large, as will, as of, you know, like January 19th, the need to pass another resolution to keep the government going. This is not the sign of a healthy government or a government that is one for the ages. We're just a little over 200 years old as a government. Constitution ratified in 1787. And we find ourselves at a place where it is just about impossible to maintain the tissue paper thin veil of fiction that we are a free people and a functioning government based upon popular sovereignty. It's just about dead. And you know who's going to take it on the chin in January again? The Dreamers. Because this is a sick and bigoted, racist, xenophobic nation. And for the same reason that the Democrats did not hold the Republicans' feet to the fire this time, they won't in January either. Because they know that Fox News and the other right-wing media for-profit outlets will wear them out. Well, they're going to keep your mama's Social Security check from coming just so they can try to get a bunch of illegal aliens citizenship. Disgusting. That ain't making America great again. Donald Trump's going to make America great again. That's what Donald Trump's going to do. Paul Ryan, who is, of course, a liar, a flim-flam man, and a fraud, said, the vast majority of Republicans want to see a DACA solution. They just want to see a DACA solution that's balanced. Fuckwit, you're the Speaker of the House. You can have any kind of solution that you want. You can pass anything that you want. You just proved it, because you just screwed generations of Americans as yet unborn and undreamt of. So the vast majority, I don't want to hear about what the vast majority of Republicans want to see beyond the fact that they want to see their own bank balances rise. They couldn't give a good goddamn about innocent children who were brought to this country through no fault of their own and damned well deserve a shot at the American dream. They don't care. And come January, you'll find out how much they don't care. Are we clear? And we know what the messaging's going to be, because Geezer discussed us, got his little thumbs on the Twitter machine and said, "House Democrats want to shut down for the holidays in order to distract from the very popular just passed tax cuts. House Republicans, don't let this happen. Pass the CR today and keep our government open." There's not one shred of evidence that the Democrats want to shut the government down. But then again, since when does evidence matter? But in the short term, guess what? We had a little conversation last night about when Trump would sign the bill. Well, the legislation that the House did manage to pass today has a mechanism in it. And it stops automatic cuts to mandatory spending programs, Medicare included, the tax cut bill that these jackasses just passed. So they're gonna finagle the law on the back end to keep from having to deal with the consequences of what they just did until the 2018 midterms are over. Shitbirds. So we got that, and we are at about 3 minutes before the hour. If you get a chance, you might want to get online and go and find the final speech of Al Franken to the Senate of the United States. It was a good one. Kind of hard not to watch it and shed a tear or two. Thanks to Kirsten Gillibrand and her remorseless, relentless, boundless presidential ambitions. We'll not see his like again. Because I don't care how well liked Tina, what's her name, is, she's not going to be someone with the brains and the talent and the fire in the belly of Al Franken. It's just not. No, it's not. It ain't gonna happen. And but if there's a saving grace, it lies in the fact that people have largely figured out that Al Franken was thrown to the wolves for Kirsten Gillibrand's ambitions. And if she had any shame, she should be ashamed. But watch the speech. It's a good one. Because without calling anybody a poopy head or anything, he laid out the problems that we face in stark relief. And you know how I've been mentioning from time to time that we got to be careful not to get lured into the trap of thinking that everything is something that happened because the Caratine Caligula was made president by an archaic constitutional mechanism that was put in the system at the insistence of fucking slave owners. Well, Al touched on that. He said it started long before 2016. Lurking behind each of those issues isn't just a difference of opinion or difference of values. There's something far worse. A lie. A lie. And of course, the entirety of the Republican platform is founded upon lies. Al will formally resign on January the 2nd, Tuesday, January the 2nd, and it will be a day. It will be a day of sadness and of grief. And shame. Not shame on Al Franken, but shame on Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris and the other good Christian ladies, as well as the one Buddhist lady who shanked him as part of a PR stunt. So that's the filibobster. We've still got a bunch more stuff. We've also got the Green News Report coming up, the final, well, I think it's maybe the final one of the year with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. And even though there's no fundraising going on this evening, I want to send out particular special thanks to our buddy John. Thank you, John. And to Nicholas in Minnesota. Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you, Nick. Thank you very kindly. A couple of notes before we go to break. Kim in New Jersey. Odds are that prick from Alabama runs for the Alabama for the Republican nomination for Senate next year. 100%. We all know it, and he'll probably win the nomination again. I don't think he will. The only reason that Roy Moore got the nomination is that Big Luther Strange had a whole bunch of Robert Bentley all over him. Because Big Luther Strange was appointed by Robert Bentley after Robert Bentley done got caught on an electronic recording telling the woman who was not his traditional Christian family values wife how much he enjoyed a fondling of her breasts. So when the Republican primary comes around for the Senate seat of Doug Jones, which is it next year or is it 2020? Somebody check me. So let's put the Horn volunteer research staff on that. It won't be Big Luther, most likely. And I have no doubt that Roy Tola Moore will win, run. But anybody who gets the nomination with 7.5% of the vote is vulnerable and not likely to get the nomination twice. No, I'd say he'll probably go back and run for governor again. Because, understand, Roy Moore just runs for stuff. Because it's a good hustle. As the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, used to say, that's a good dollar. And so he'll run, but by then maybe John Merrill, Secretary of State, maybe he'll be thinking he's right senatorial, or some other God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican. Yeah. So I understand your point, Kim, but I don't think he'll get the nomination. But you know what? We can put a $5 bill on it and find out later. Liberal radio host encourages online wagering. No. Yep, as Silent R. Lamar points out, where Chip is concerned, the money's not there because it's in their pockets. Ain't that the truth? Matt in San Francisco with a note. I'm convinced, subject line, civilization. I'm convinced the only thing that has prevented the citizenry from collecting their pitchforks and grabbing any ropes they can find and heading towards the congressional building to string these greedy fuckers from the trees is geography. If we were all within walking distance of D.C., I would hope the crowd would be marching there already. The class war is raging. They're winning, and I say, eat the rich. Delicious with sweet taters. Matt in San Francisco. Thank you, Matt. God only knows who all would be marching toward. The Nazis are fond of marching. Bill in PA. Subject line, Republican plan. They won't be happy until we are in full-blown depression, worse than the one in 1929. And they may very well be well on their way to it. Randy pointing out, and our fantastically wise federal judges haven't yet figured out that voter fraud isn't really a thing. Kind of restores your faith in the authorized, doesn't it? No, but the acquittals in the J-20 trials today, they helped. They helped a little. Just a little. A couple of fun graphics coming from Scott and Punky. Kind of hard to do visuals on the radio, though. So if you want to get involved in the program, if you want to participate in the conversation, I heartily encourage and welcome you so to do. You know the numbers, I trust, 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, if you've never sent me a contact request, feel free to do so, and I'll approve it right away. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Our crack staff, a note from Steve from Georgistan, our crack staff, or our staff on crack, a special election for the United States Senate in Alabama took December 12, 2017, and the vacancy in the Senate will run through the end of the term, ending on January 3rd, 2021. So whatever happens will be, and at one point in time, I think I said it, he had to run next year. I was wrong. Doug Jones will be a senator until January 3rd, 2021, and he will presumably run for re-election. in 2020. Okay. Randy and PA pointing out, actually, the rich are kind of tough and stringy. Well, that's why you braise them. And that's what the barbecue sauce is for. The secret's in the sauce. Okay. All right, so like I said, lines are open. And jump in if you want. We got lots of other stuff to go into. Yeah, you remember Monday when I delivered my spoiler-free Jeremy ad against The Last Jedi? Apparently, it doesn't... Wingnuts don't have quite so... they don't care about spoilers. Alex Jones has apparently seen the movie, or his family has. Oh, and by the way, Labor Man with a question, did you get my email the other day about Scrump with his prediction about Scrump? I did, and let me, see if I can find it. Ah, there it is. Laborman sent this in on Wednesday. Bob, bold prediction after the above subject claim made America great again. After the above subject claim and with a massive bullshit speech between after Christmas and January 20th, maybe State of the Union address, Scrump will resign after blanket pardons, maybe even fire Mueller. That's pretty bold. It's pretty bold, Laborman. I, however, tend to disagree a little bit simply because there's a lot of people out there that really, really don't want pardons. For instance, like, you know, Michael Flynn, who apparently, if I read correctly, has a clause in his plea agreement that says he accepts a pardon, then the plea deal is off and he stands liable for every charge that is lodged against him. And he will open up his son, his sick, disgusting, weirdo, wingnut son, to prosecution as well. And if a pardon is granted by Trump, it has no effect whatsoever on charges in state courts. It's only as to federal law. And depending on where these crimes took place, guess what? There's no friendly Republican to stack the deck. I'm with Laborman to the extent, though, that I'm not convinced that he won't at some point in time just completely lose his mind and fire Mueller. But he's going to be feeling pretty froggy tomorrow. Maybe the tweets are already out. A little piece of breaking news from earlier today. A federal judge has dismissed a lawsuit today that accused Geezer Disgustus of violating the Constitution by continuing to own and profit from his business empire. In other words, the lawsuit that was filed in the Southern District of New York claimed that restaurant and hotel owners were being harmed by Tangerine Tiberius's continuing violation of the Emoluments Clause. I need to read the decision. This landed during the program, so I haven't had a chance yet. Hopefully it will... be appealed. But I'd be interested in seeing what the judge's rationale was. The dismissal was ordered by Judge George B. Daniels of the U.S. District Court in Manhattan. The finding was not that Donald Trump did not violate the Emoluments Clause, but rather that the plaintiffs failed to demonstrate monetary damages, loss of revenue, because of anything that Trump had specifically done. On the other hand, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington said through a spokesperson, "We will not walk away from this serious and ongoing violation." Now, Judge George B. Daniels, let's look him up. It would help if I could type, which I can't. There he is. Judge George B. Daniels got his Bachelor of Arts from Yale and his law degree from UC Berkeley. And he is a Bill Clinton nominee. Thanks, Bill. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa says, "I'll take the other end of labor man's wager. No resignation in quarter one 2018. Loser to contribute $500 to the horn." Whoa! Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. That's terrifying. But I'll leave that to y'all to sort out amongst yourselves. Okay, so seriously, now that I've filibobstered all the way to almost 20 minutes past the hour, we're going to take a break. Really. You never know the things that are going to get this community interested in chatting amongst itself. Subject line, "Eat the Rich," courtesy of Scott and Punky. "Tough, stringy, and flavorless." That was a review of the Rich entree at the Cannibal restaurant. Priced high, too. Easily 4 or 5 times more expensive than other entrees on the menu. A patron asked the manager about this. His reply, "Ever try to clean one?" "Waiter, there's a fly in my soup." "Shh, not so loud. Everybody else will want one, too." Right. So, yeah, I'm still on my winter solstice kick. I had a note from Lauren in far frozen Canada. She describes herself as a solstice half-empty type of girl. She says, "It's been winter here since around November 1st, although not too cold, still have some snow on the ground. The idea that winter is in fact just beginning and will continue for several more months does not cheer me up. Our days up here are damn short right now, and it takes a long time until they'll be noticeably different. The summer solstice gets me too. The days do get shorter and seem to shrink at huge speed. It's partly my age. At the age of 63, days, weeks, years just zoom past. The days are all too short." They all are. They all are, Lauren. Lauren was also the one who kind of pushed it over the top for having a Christmas on the front porch, saying, I'll definitely be listening December 25th, subject line Atheists and Jews, and would love to hear a show. Even the Chinese restaurants are closed here on Christmas. Well, I understand winter, as that very popular TV show says, is coming. But it sure did come in real nice here today. But there's no way around it. We're going to get some shitty. I am entirely ill-prepared for it. But we'll get through it. And it'll be cold. It'll be colder than blue blazes and frosty in hell. But every day gets a little bit longer. And hell, spring is only, let's see, 31, 39, 59, 79, 80, 80. Yeah, it's 90 days away. And we've got each other. We've got each other to help keep each other. We can keep each other sane through it all. I know what it's going to be like. I got no heat back here. Just because it's a toasty 67 degrees in here in the studio today doesn't mean I will not be freezing my little tuchus off a week from now. In fact, it may be, you know, that our Christmas on the front porch is going to be a very frosty one. There have been broadcasts here in this studio where I've been able to see my breath. And I'll probably see it again. Those little one-pound bottles of propane are running, depends on whether you get them at Lowe's or Wally World. Cheaper at Wally World. $15 for 4 one-pound bottles at Lowe's. It's kind of hateful. I can make 1 one-pound bottle last about 6 hours back here. So, I know from... I don't know from canoodly and cold. But I know cold. Hillbilly, wet, bone-chilling cold. Because dry cold is a lot more manageable. Kid Mark in the chat room. Winter solstice is here, Bob Kincaid. Happy Easter. So, okay, now we really are going to take a break, see if you guys have anything to say, and we'll go from there. This is fundraising-free, liberal, progressive, independent broadcasting. And with a little anthem for a happy solstice, just a little spirit lifter. And then the Green News Report. I'm Bob Kincaid.
sky. Please tell us why
you had to hide away for so long. So long.
Where did we go wrong? Hey there, Mr. Blimp. We're so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do. Everybody smiles at you. Hey there, Mr. Blimp. We're so pleased to be with you. Look around, see what you do.
It's Thursday, December 21, 2017.
Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
A reprieve for renewable energy, but not for disaster victims in Republicans' massive tax bill.
This bill basically pays for the tax cuts for corporations and millionaires by requiring drilling in our nation's most iconic national wildlife refuge.
GOP achieves their dream of drilling in Alaska's pristine Anwar. Australia finds renewable energy more reliable than coal. Plus,
what was once a paradise was like a war zone.
California's Thomas Fire, now second largest in state history.
All of those war zones and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Suck it, snowflakes. Next, we're coming for their electric cars. We're going to make them run on elephant blood.
Merry Christmas. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, they've been trying to do it for decades. They just couldn't stand all that oil staying in the ground, no matter how pristine the land was above it. One of the least discussed disasters from the GOP tax bill.
Yeah, in congressional Republicans' massive $1.5 trillion tax cut bill for the wealthy and corporations, they did finally achieve that long-held dream of opening the pristine Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, known as ANWR, to oil and gas drilling.
We have ANWR. We're going to start drilling in ANWR.
That over the objections of Native Americans, ecologists, conservationists, and the majority of Alaskans and the nation in general. On the Senate floor prior to the vote, Washington State Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell begged Republicans to preserve the wildlife refuge, not destroy it.
We should not be turning it into an oil field. What we're doing today is taking a step towards destroying it.
But it may take years before drilling begins, and Senate Democrats and environmental groups have vowed to stop it in the meantime. The Republicans' tax bill also eliminates a personal tax deduction for people who suffer uninsured losses in natural disasters, like the record hurricanes and wildfires that have impacted millions of Americans in 2017 alone. That is, unless the president declares a federal disaster, which ends up not actually applying to most extreme weather disasters.
The president is a federal disaster.
Renewable energy, however, got a bit of a reprieve. Republicans left crucial tax credits for big wind and solar energy projects largely intact. Those are phasing out anyway in 5 years. But the fossil fuel industry's billions in permanent taxpayer subsidies remain.
Of course.
Meanwhile, in California, the massive Thomas Fire in Southern California's Ventura and Santa Barbara counties has now grown to be the second largest fire in state history and is on track to become the largest.
And it bears reiterating that this is happening in the middle of winter, that these huge fires used to happen in the middle of summer, in the hot season. Now they're happening all year around, and now it's the second largest fire in state history, I guess. Number one is not far away.
The U.S. Drought Monitor this week announced more than 40% of California is now abnormally dry, with mountain snowpack at about a third of normal. An Associated Press analysis found a, quote, significant increase in the numbers and sizes of fires in the state, and noted that this year's fires have burned more than double the acreage than last year's record fires. But there is some good news. In Arizona's Grand Canyon country, an appeals court has upheld a 20-year ban on new uranium mining claims on public lands that are adjacent to Grand Canyon National Park. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has endorsed a push by the state's $200 billion pension fund to divest from all fossil fuel investments. And in Australia, a major coal-fired power plant in New South Wales tripped on Monday. It's the fourth coal-fired power plant to fail without a warning in a week in Australia amid a record heat wave. Tesla's new big battery in South Australia, however, jumped into action as intended and prevented a blackout in that region. Australia's official energy task force has now recommended more renewable energy and battery storage be installed to make the grid more resilient.
So that was the world's largest battery that Elon Musk and Tesla just installed in Australia?
Yeah.
And it already came in handy with the failure of this coal plant?
Yep, more reliable than coal.
That is a little bit of good news.
Finally, in stark contrast to the Australian government's push to increase coal exports, the world's biggest coal port in Newcastle, Australia, just announced this week it is shifting away from reliance on coal in order to diversify the port's traffic. The port's new chairman called the long-term outlook for coal, quote, a threat to the port, as world demand for Australia's coal continues to decline.
I think that's good news too, right?
Yes.
All right, then I'm getting out before something breaks again. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From Desi and me to you and yours, Merry Christmas to all. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Icicles on eaves troughs and tinsel on the tree, but it's a green Christmas for me.
And 26 minutes before the hour, we are a little over halfway through this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. I'm Bob, of course. I'm always Bob. And again, a reminder, we will have a program on Christmas evening, Christmas night, Christmas on the Front Porch. And then Tuesday, the 26th, we'll have a shortened version, a two-hour version of the program, followed by the 2 hours of the Mike Malloy Show on Progressive Voices from 9 to 11 p.m. Okay? Groovy. So just make a note of it. But no program on New Year's Eve because I'm going to be a pitiful little football junkie. Okay? All right. So what else? Get your order. These supplies are limited. Really limited. So if you need that little holiday pick-me-up, don't forget about Christ-like chrysanthemum from Horn Nutraceuticals. You'll be glad you didn't. Just wanted to make sure and get that in there. Let's see. Okay, I can. Sexual harassment update. The latest person to be outed as an alleged sexual harassing skeeve would be, and this is going to be a kind of a blow to people who support and rely on progressive media, Don Hazen over at Alternet. It was announced that he has been indefinitely suspended as the head of Alternet based upon a story published by BuzzFeed detailing what seems like it's not Weinstein-level creepiness. It's not Kevin Spacey creepiness, but it's creepy. Look, if you've got there was a time. If you've got an art photo of your erect penis, and it's an art photo, this is one of those moments when we have to define art. If someone else took the picture of your erect penis, it might be an art photo. If someone else took a picture of your erect penis and they did it with a cell phone, it's not an art photo. If they used maybe really, really, ASA 64, ASA 100, black and white film, and they used film, and they printed from a negative and all of that stuff, and they took a picture of your erect penis, might be art. Might be. Kind of depends, I guess, maybe on whether there are, like, pubes in it or something. Let's see. 7:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The program is now officially in the gutter. And I'm ruining somebody's dinner. But that might be an art photo. But even if you are a man of a certain age, and somebody with an avant-garde resume of edgy black and white photography skills takes a picture of your erect penis and mats it and mounts it and frames it. Don't say mount, Bob. Not in this story. And gives it to you as a gift. Don't. I say again, don't, do not invite your female subordinate employees to have a gander at it. Don't do that. Because you, the owner of the art photo of your erect penis, are not a competent judge of whether or not sharing your penis photo, your penis pic, is harassing conduct. Just because it's your little friend doesn't mean it's everybody else's. Just because it doesn't make you go ick or ew or, oh my God, it's tiny,
doesn't mean it won't make others, particularly young women who are reliant upon you for their job, feel all gross and icky. Because, see, that's one of the allegations in the BuzzFeed article against Don Hazen at Aldrin. Don't do that. Don Hazen contests some of it. He says some of it didn't happen. He's trying to you know, sort of say, well, maybe I did, but I certainly didn't mean it that way, and I needed to be more careful about taking pictures of our young and lovely female staff members' legs sticking out of their skirts. That's another part of it, too. Oh, thank you, Arthur. Thank you. Yes, I should. Arthur says, stop telling us how to perv, Bob. You people. You can read the article if you want over at BuzzFeed. And, you know, the question remains. Why? Why? You're making enough money. If you've just got to have sex, you can go out and hire a sex worker and maybe not get arrested. And hey, you know what? Looking back, which would have been worst? Getting busted as a John hiring a hooker, or now getting busted for being a pervy dude who shows off his black and white erect, maybe it was color, I don't know. Kodachrome. That's enough singing. But who gets busted for showing off your naked erect art photo penis picture to women who were subordinate to you in the business in which you worked. I'm guessing getting busted as a John is probably not the is probably the lesser of the two. Might not have even gotten you, you know, indefinitely suspended by your board. So, yeah. Hell, it's in the news. Hey, let's go and check in with Clarity. Hey, Clarity.
Hey, Bob. You know, what's new? You ruining my supper.
Yeah, sorry.
How is today any different than just about any day of the week? You know, sometimes you take, the better part of 2 hours before, you know, it becomes something right out of Vice Squad Academy.
Well, I can't help the world in which I live, Clarity.
I know, and I have given up my innocence reluctantly. You know, it's kind of a multiple personality thing, you know. Part of me, you know, can look right at the black abyss, and then there's part of me that goes, oh, I'm pure as the driven snow, you know, with three years celibate, you know, and now on a medication that prevents me from practicing self-love to any degree of satisfaction. So, but I was just also wondering, you know, when you started saying penis, it reminded me of a health professor I had at Central Washington who used the word puberty. And we all thought that was a kick.
Well, I can tell you where that comes from. It's just a funny little thing that sort of stuck in on some poor little misbegotten brain cell. But way back in college, one of my fraternity brothers woke up one morning and went, you know, shuffling down the hallway to the restroom. And the next thing we all of us brothers heard there on the second floor was, "Ow! Ow!" And he came, and the way the house was laid out, there were suites, and each suite could hold four people. As it was, just me and my fraternity brother in ours. And he came back and he said, my penis hurts really bad. And he was from Pittsburgh. And he used this funny little voice. And he said, my penis hurts really bad. I need a ride to the clinic. And so I don't know if that was something from his family or just some, I don't know if that was a Pittsburgh thing. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Rico and DeBerg can chime in on this. But that's where that came from.
Well, growing up, the polite term was used in my Christian family of Peter, which I thought was kind of amusing because of, you know, there was this guy in the Bible named Peter. And
right, yeah, right.
Well, who was he named after, you know?
Well, you know, and the funny thing is that in turn is a it was a nickname that Jesus gave him because it means rock. So rocks are hard.
Well, and why isn't he the patron saint of Viagra?
I'd say yes. Award yourself a cowbell there, Clarity. You know, it started at 7. It started at 7:38. We're 8 minutes in, and it's only getting worse.
Taking another dive. We're going deep.
Yep. We're taking that off ramp into the sub tunnel of the gutter.
I don't know if you mentioned it because I've missed parts of some of your shows as of late, but you did see the Western news that Ammon Bundy was Nevada was declared a mistrial.
I did see that, and when I see something like that, I can't help but thinking that either the prosecution did a lousy job of picking a jury, or they screwed up somewhere along the way.
No, what happened was the prosecution withheld the evidence during discovery, and when the judge found out about it, he basically stopped the trial right there and said, this is a mistrial because you've withheld discovery from the defense.
Well, that's kind of the rule. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, the guy in Oregon, the prosecutor blew the case. And it was a poorly picked jury as well. I mean, some of the, what do you call them, libertarians that were on that jury, the Bundys, you know, they weren't going to go against a free spirit like the Bundy family.
Maybe a few Mormons along the way too. You never know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just loves freedom, and what's more, when you're dealing with Ammon Bundy, not only does he love freedom, he can tell you about the Negroes. Jesus.
But you know, it's the prosecutor is a person paid. You know, he's a government employee, and he should be doing his damn job right, you know.
Or she, yes.
Oh, excuse me, yes. Yeah, you know, speaking of O.J., it's ridiculous, you know, that they leave holes that, you know.
That you can drive through?
Yeah, any constitutional lawyer's just going to go, why is he?
Well, I mean, the reason that rule is there about disclosure is that there is a judicial distaste for trial by surprise. We want everybody to have all the same information, so that whatever goes to the jury is based upon something resembling an agreed upon set of evidence, right? And if they can't agree, then the judge will sort those out. Now, there's two kinds of withholding of evidence. There's the malicious kind, where you do it on purpose, and then there's the kind where, Jesus, there's three mountains of paperwork, and a couple of sheets mistakenly didn't get copied.
Of course, yeah.
If it's benign neglect, it's generally viewed differently than active malfeasance.
Well, and destroying evidence in a capital crime, you know, that's withholding evidence. You know, when they started coming through with DNA testing, a lot of times those men and women didn't have their evidence preserved when they appealed.
No.
So yeah, it's a very important law. And, you know, I am glad that we still have, you know, judges that aren't of that ilk. But as we know, the Republicans like loading up the districts. And if they could do, you know, the Ninth Circuit over here, which is more environmentally friendly, you know, if they could replace a couple judges on that, then we could start drilling in California off the coast, you know.
Right.
But yeah, Anwar is just, you know, just one obscenity upon another. You know, it's kind of.
Oh, and to see them publicly masturbating about it yesterday was just sickening.
Oh, yeah, Trump, you know, proclaiming that, you know, no president was as evil as I was. You know, they couldn't get Anwar, but I, you know, I'm so good that I can go up there and dump oil on that pristine area like no one even dreamed of. And it's really, yeah, it's right out of a Shakespearean nightmare, you know. That we have someone that's this narcissistic and ignorant about, you know, our stewardship of the planet.
Yeah, and for nothing but corporate profits. Again, you just kind of got to kind of hammer this down. Keep because it's not going to make a net. It's not going to make a nickel's worth of difference, a penny's worth of difference in the price of a gallon of gas in the United States.
No.
Although I did notice something today, Clarity.
Yeah.
I had to put gas in the vehicle. And for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, it's been $2.65 a gallon here. $2.64.9. So I rounded.
$2.67 here in town.
Yeah. I put gas in today. Guess what? Between yesterday and today, with the signing of that godforsaken bill, I guess the oil company celebrated by giving us a nickel off a gallon of gas.
Well, yes. And one of the corporations said they were going to start paying their employees $15 an hour. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you can get enough people to run through Fox and have it blown way out of proportion, you know, you don't hear about the carrier plant basically shutting down in Indiana. Did you hear about his first pardon, the orange marmalade?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I had that last night and didn't quite get around to it. And it resonated with me. This is pre-you. But way, way, way back when Shalom Rubashkin was prosecuted, we spent a lot of time talking about that case because it was disgusting. Shalom Rubashkin was, for all intents and purposes, running a slavery outfit.
Kosher slavery.
Just about. Well, you know, it's right there in the Old Testament. You can have them. I mean, there's rules about what happens when you rape your slaves, and because it's a very moral document.
Well, it's the guide to life. Just ask Roy Moore.
A guide to life in the Iron Age. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that guy gets. He'd been sentenced to 27 years. He'd served 8 of it, and somebody told, told Marcus Aurelius to pardon this guy. Now this guy, let's make no mistake, was a goddamn monster.
So he pardoned a slave trader, basically.
Well, what he was a butcher. He was the biggest kosher butcher in the United States.
Oh my God!
And and he moved his family out to Iowa, and set up this kosher butchering operation, and hired a bunch of undocumented immigrants, who, I kid you not, when ICE raided them, were rounded up into stockyards.
Yeah.
And then Rubashkin winds up going up the river on some kind of tax charges. But what he did to the undocumented immigrants whom he essentially enslaved. Well, if you look up his name, you'll have to wade through a whole bunch of stories about the pardon. But Jesus Christ. I mean, we're talking about a disgusting, sick man.
Yeah.
Who should have spent the rest of his natural born life in prison. Meanwhile, Mumia continues to sit in prison, and so does Leonard Peltier.
Yeah. Well, I believe in karma. So he's getting out of prison, but there's no way he can work off doing that to all those people. And what reminded me of this about the tax evasion thing, when I first started waiting tables, I worked for the El Trader Corporation. And at that time, they were owned by Peter Grace, W.R. Grace Corporation. And come payday, all the kitchen crew cashed their checks at the cashier's stand. They didn't have to go to the bank, have a bank account or anything. They just walked up, signed their check, and they paid them cash. So you can imagine how much they were saving on payroll taxes. And having, you know, two sets of books.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably what this guy was doing in Iowa, was he had all these, you know, guys from Guatemala and, you know, South America working for him, and probably even some people from, you know, the Pacific, Filipinos. Yeah,
well, this all broke, the story broke on May the 12th, 2008. And that's when the FBI and Homeland Security raided agriprocessors in Postville, Iowa. And they rounded up and arrested 389 working people.
Hoo-wee.
And they were, and at the time, it was the largest raid into a workplace in the history of the United States. And the 389 who were arrested because they had fraudulent identity documentation.
Yeah.
And of course, they were also stiffing their workers. The Iowa Labor Commissioner handed agriprocessors a $10 million fine for wage violations.
Not paying overtime and not paying them probably sometimes.
And then on the same day, the feds came and busted Shalom Rubashkin for conspiracy, harboring illegal immigrants, aiding and abetting aggravated identity theft. See, that's what I mean. He was a slaver. He not only would bring people into his facilities, he would also then dummy up fake documents.
Yeah. So yeah, he was deep into the business, and
then they kept digging, and they wound up busting him again for bank fraud. So this is the guy who walked.
Well,
and he was getting ready to fly the coop. When they raided his house, he was wearing an ankle monitor for home confinement. Yeah, the 389 slaves, they didn't get home confinement, Clarity.
No.
But Shalom Rubashkin did. And when they raided his home for the last time, they found a little zippered bag that just happened to have $20,000 in ice cold cash in it. And he was getting ready. It had different passports in it. It had silver coins in it. And he was getting ready to bug out for Israel, at which point we would never have heard from him again.
Yeah. Well, that's organized crime, Bob.
Yeah.
Nobody can do that without having people in the banking system, in the paying off inspectors, the whole schmear. And there probably aren't a lot of labor activists in Iowa, you know, compared to California.
No, they, once upon a time, but not anymore. Now,
well,
now here's another. I mean, this guy just got a walk, and he was a monster. He faced at one point in time 9,311 counts of child labor violations.
Oh, so he had kids in there too.
But he managed to walk on that. He was acquitted. And then they even went so far as to expunge the record of the child labor case against him.
Well, they were illegals, Bob. They don't have no rights.
There you go.
We can't be wasting law enforcement.
And just for the sake of accuracy, he was not pardoned. His sentence was commuted.
Oh, so Trump's saving up real pardons for some real innocent people.
And among other people supporting the commutation were Orrin Hatch, I still believe Anita Hill, and Nancy Pelosi.
Well, she's kosher, isn't she?
I don't know. I guess that's her married name, but I thought that was an Italian name.
Well, I'm talking about Marin. Lots of people eat kosher there.
But he got 20 years shaved off of his sentence, and I guess we'll all just pretend that he wasn't a slaver.
Well, he did a lot. He must have did some amazing good time to have that all just raced away and his record raced away. How many felons get out and have their record erased? None.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, there's a separate set of law for the high and mighty, the, you know,
the wealthy, folks. The wealthy and well connected.
Yeah, I'm surprised they caught him before he got away.
But he's going to take a walk and, hey, well, I don't know. Did you see? Because I didn't. Are there any plans to retry ammonium nitrate Bundy?
Oh, I think there's still some charges pending. But this menacing charge when they were all had their guns on the freeway there, that was for that. The menacing a federal officer or whatever, endangerment, blah, blah. Because there's, you know, they were a little bit over the top, but I guess it's okay if your prosecutor's a numbskull. But no, he has some more charges coming up. And they're fighting over, you know, that the feds took their cattle to pay for grazing fees and stuff. That's also being disputed as well. So it's not over yet.
You'll pardon me if I don't have a lot of confidence in the process at this point.
No, I don't either. And it's, you know, I think it just feeds into the freepers and the preppers. All, you know, they're saying, well, you know, they're right. You know, this is our country and this is our, you know, we the people can't be shoved around by these jackbooted thugs.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there's some breaking news out there from about 45 minutes ago. The Senate has acted, Clarity. The Senate has acted to pass the stopgap financial extension. We can't actually do our jobs bill. So the government will continue to operate into January. And lo and behold, guess what? They've managed to continue funding for the CHIP program all the way to March the 31st, 2018. So, hey, kids, if you're going to get sick and you're on CHIP, best be getting at it.
Now, yeah.
Because on March 31st, the GOP, having just passed their great big whopping giveaway to the rich and fabulous, are going to say, well, we're poor. And as predicted, the bill does include a waiver of the pay-go rules, pay-as-you-go.
Yeah.
There's a waiver on that so that the automatic Medicare cuts will not kick in 2018, so that the Republicans will not have to deal with that on the campaign trail, and Gammy and Gampa won't be thinking about not voting for no good, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Republicans for cutting their Medicare.
They can look right into the camera and say, I'm not cutting your Medicare. I care about you, and the Republicans will take care of you, and we're freeing things up for business, and it's going to be rosy, and Trump's going to get his 5% growth because he's such a businessman. He's just such a businessman.
We're going to get unlimited growth, and we're not going to tell anybody that in other circumstances, unlimited growth is called cancer.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a puff piece, and I know you don't have time to listen to podcasts, but it's on this BBC program called Analysis.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, the title of the show, it's What is Trump's World Like? And it's written from a businessman's perspective. And there really wasn't anything negative they had to say. They just, you know, well, we don't know, you know, if the projections are going to come through, but it's never been tried before. He's just such an innovator, and da-da-da, and all the people who have 20 employees to 20,000 are just happy that we have a friendly business environment now, as opposed to all that overreaching regulation and da-da-da-da-da. And they only ask one question: isn't this kind of a faith-based economic thing, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
And they say, well, the Trump bump is a real thing, and the stock market's up, and blah blah blah. You know, all the indicators are that people are ready for, you know, a new da da da. And it's just, and it's on British BBC, and it sounds like something right off of Fox. You know, I was gobsmacked that, you know, I always thought of them to have some objectivity, and obviously they were sponsored by the City of London, you know, so the banksters love him because nobody's going to be going through their vaults.
No, and the entire Republican Party is going to love him, and they'll put up with anything from him as long as they are getting to do what they have so long ached and yearned to do.
Yes. Yes. They. Well, that's probably why he's picking up his glass with two hands, because he kept wiping the drool off with his wrists as he's, you know.
Yeah, should that be a new nickname, Two-Hand Trump? Or is that some sort of godforsaken creepy card game in Vegas?
Donald Little Hands.
Little Big Hands.
Little Big Hands. Well, I think it was you that said that, you know, he's going to have a stroke.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's me repeating Agnes.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, I was doing some research about you know, aspartame in the Diet Coke.
Yeah,
he's consuming huge amounts of it. You're only supposed to drink a couple of those a day. They didn't test, you know, lab rats on it, and it causes a pseudo dementia.
And that's the thing. I mean, all things in moderation. You know, don't drink a 1.75 of Cuervo a day either. But you shouldn't be drinking 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 Diet Cokes.
Yeah. And the other thing.
Look, Clarity, even if you factor out the aspartame in that, the caffeine load on 6 or 7 Diet Cokes. I mean, I drink the stuff. I'm not crazy about it. But, I can't afford to have my sugar go flying, you know, go flying through the stratosphere.
No.
So generally, I keep a bottle of diet ginger ale in the bedroom, you know, just a regular, you know, what is it, a half liter or what? It's, 500 milliliters. I keep one and just sip at that once in a while. Keep a bottle of water in there, too. And during any given program here, I will drink about a half of a bottle of either diet root beer or diet ginger ale and a bottle of water. And I don't think I need to be drinking much more than that through the day.
Yeah. Well, I know you have to watch your caffeine, and I probably should a little bit more than I do.
Well, I just flat can't cope with it.
Yeah, well, I think it makes me a little bit anxious too.
I mean, my heart rate responds to caffeine the way some people's heart rate responds to, you know, three or four nice long lines of Coke cut out on the mirror.
Oh, okay, yeah. Or like a good sativa.
Well, that can happen too. Right, exactly. Yeah. And I don't do much of that either. Once in a very, very great while, when my cervical radiculopathy was acting up, and it's gotten considerably better, by the way.
Good.
One of the things, it's crazy, the things that can make you better. When, and I don't know how this sounds now that I'm using the televangelist mic, but now that I can just sit back in my chair and not engage in the bad habits of leaning over on either one of the arms, my right arm has gotten dramatically better.
Yeah.
Because this thing just, you know, this thing just rides on my ears. And you know, I feel like, I feel like Joel Osteen, except for the, you know, millions and millions of tax-free dollars.
Well, mousing, too, is, you know, it causes overuse.
That's true, and it's in my right arm, and I'm right-handed.
Yeah. Well, I got all kinds of stuff, you know, and I told you I have neuropathy in my right. Yeah, so.
Yeah, because when it hurts, it freaking hurts.
Yeah.
And for a while there, I was taking 4 ibuprofen every 8 hours and got through it.
Yeah, but your kidneys don't like that.
No, and that's why I was flushing. I was drinking all the water I could, you know. Hell, I'd drink a half a bottle of water just taking those 4 pills.
Yeah.
But it, for some reason, naproxen sodium does nothing for me. You know, I already take a baby aspirin every day. And Tylenol is as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Yeah.
And that's hell on your liver anyway. So, you know, apart from all that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? But, you know, it's okay. And I have noticed for some reason now, I've never had any joints that responded to the weather. But my right arm does now.
Yeah.
It starts to change. And it's like, oh, damn. I don't even need my weather cricket anymore.
Well, have you ever had a fracture or anything? Just soft tissue stuff.
Yeah, no, this is all the result of damage to the discs between like C4, C5, C6.
Okay, all right.
And they're just ruined. And I, you know, I still have, and this isn't poor pitiful me. This is just tough. I have spasms right there that make everything from like my solar plexus up feel like, and all the way down both arms feel like it's caught fire.
Yeah. The fire. Yeah. Yeah. I get that too. Yeah. I had one, naturopath that, did something at that pressure point that right on your, inner blade of your scapula, worked on that nerve there.
Yeah.
And it cleared up for a while, you know. So there's obviously some impingement involved in my case. But, you know, when mine hurts, it almost feels like I've got somebody's jab pieces of wire into my flesh, you know?
Yeah, it exactly.
So, yeah, it's no fun. Anyway, today it was black beans I cooked up.
Yummy.
And I had some pork bone stock. But I started them with, I've been cooking with burdock root. It's a good winter vegetable, and it helps with fats, stuff like that. And shiitake mushrooms are also really good. The Bi-Mart here has them canned. I can't afford the dried ones.
I saw something beautiful earlier today. Speaking of mushrooms, this might we're now entering the food porn portion of the program.
Okay. Yes.
Our buddy Chris in Germany is traveling right now, and she's in Greece, and she shares food porn when she travels. And I saw something that just made me weep like a baby today. And this sounds so, I mean, it's so simple and so classical. This sounds like something they were doing 2,500 years ago, or 3,000 years ago, for that matter. Mushrooms sautéed in honey, Clarity. And then shrimp sautéed in ouzo.
Okay.
And I just went, oh, wow. Oh, really? Wow.
That would be intense flavors, yeah.
I presume by ouzo, we're talking about the anisette. And I would never think about, shrimp and anise, sweet anise, at the same time. But the more I ponder it, the better it sounds.
And you're talking about porcini mushrooms?
I don't know what kind of mushrooms. I presume whatever is local and available.
Yeah.
But they were beautiful. And it just... I mean, how do you? I guess you'd have to thin the honey somehow, wouldn't you?
I think you just add a little bit of water. Yeah, which would thin it. Yeah, but yeah, you've got to get something to make it more viscous. But as it warms up, it gets more, it gets more fluid. And I don't think you'd use a hot, a searing sauté. It would be a moderate.
Yeah, it almost seems more like it would be a kind of a stovetop braise.
Yeah, I did along those lines. Yeah, sounds like.
But it just, oh. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. And there's got to be some spices involved, some of the Greek Mediterranean area spices. And the shrimp just looked amazing.
Oh, and the other thing I did, I think during the summer I talked about that I make this ginger candy. And after I cook and dry the ginger, I still have, like the liquid syrup, from it. Well, what I did this week was I got some pozole, chopped up stew pork, and trimmed it. And I sautéed it, braised it. And then when it was just about finished, I poured in maybe an eighth of a cup of that ginger syrup. And a little bit of arrowroot to thicken it up, and so it stuck to the pork, and just finished it with a little balsamic vinegar, so you got sweet and sour.
Ooh, oh, nice! Man.
That was really good, and it's it's the cheapest cut in the meat section.
Sure.
You just got to know what to do with it. I splurged this week and bought a half pound of pecans.
Those can get pricey.
Yeah, they were $12 a pound, so I paid $6 for a half a pound. But I only use about 4 ounces when I make my medicine cake. Oh, I didn't tell you about that. I just said I was baking a cake. Yeah, I made it with oats and coconut flour. And then I used yam, soft yam.
Yeah.
And then I soaked some cranberries with some medjool dates.
Well, you haven't lost me yet.
Yeah. And then some coconut flake, chip flake, a couple of eggs, and then some of my can of butter and some can of flour and a little bit of cocoa and a good slug of vanilla and a little bit of bourbon essence, not whiskey, but, you know, the flavoring. Rum, I mean.
I'm guessing that'd get you where you wanted to go.
That's pretty good stuff. When you make something that tastes that good and it's medicinal, it's hard to.
How long does it take for the medicamental effects to kick in?
If you eat it on an empty stomach, usually start feeling it about a half hour to 45 minutes. If you eat it with the meal, you know, it usually takes up to an hour or so. But it usually lasts longer when you eat it.
So does it just sort of come on gradually, or does it just whack you upside the head?
Well, some people, it hits them kind of suddenly. I think the sensation is, I had a cookie a while ago. That's why things are more colorful and dimensional geometry is now... more angular.
Well, we've got it makes no sense here in the middle of not civilization, but we've got a wonderful Thai lady about 5 miles from here who runs a little Thai place. I think I've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
And, you know, she doesn't have a menu. It's just whatever she cooks, you get.
Uh-huh.
And Thursdays are Tom Yum Day, you know, the soup.
Yeah,
the chili curry soup with the really thin little tiny rice noodles and the chicken and the vegetables and
vermicelli. Yeah,
and I adore it. And I got a cup of it today, brought it home, and a while back I got a care package from Brother Deacon Asa that included bags of Szechuan peppercorns.
Oh, okay.
And so I got a few peppercorns out and put them in my mortar and used the pestle to just grind them down to nothing, and sprinkled those Szechuan peppercorn into my Tom Yum and reheated it in the microwave, and life got really good really quick.
Yeah, that does open up your crown chakra, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, I had those lovely little tiny beads of sweat, like, right along the hairline. I could feel my blood pressure falling. I think my chakras were dancing the lambada.
Yeah.
But it was right tasty. I love those Szechuan peppercorns, man. Those are freaking awesome. I mean, if you want hot. That's hot, you know, because it'll numb your mouth even.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the difference between you and me, Bob. You're a kapha type, and kaphas need spicy food. It keeps them from getting sluggish.
Well, now you've piqued my interest. What's a kapha?
Oh, it's K-A-P-H-A, kapha. It's Ayurvedic medicine. There's three basic types. There's the wind type, that's vata. And there's the fire type, and that's me, pitta. And then kapha is earth, water. And there's a diet that pacifies.
Well, that kind of makes some sense, though, because I'm also an Aquarius.
Oh, well, I don't think it's correlated with that. It's correlated with your bone structure, you know, your metabolism, how you think even, you know.
Wow, I need to look into that.
Yeah, it's a very interesting.
I'm trying to wrap my head around making myself a better person in 2018. And I'm not one of these New Year's resolution people. I don't think I've ever made any.
Well, we have to hope for something better than we've just been forced, down our throats.
But it occurred to me that, I love nature and I love nature somewhere else. So what I'm going to try to do is take advantage of the magnificent nature that's around me. There's something like I read somewhere there's something like 1,600 miles of trails in the national park system that I practically live inside of.
Yeah.
In the coming year, I'm gonna try to commit. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, because I got to be back in time to do this program every evening. But I'm gonna try to commit to hiking some of these trails. Good pair of trousers, nice supportive pair of hiking boots.
Yeah.
And just some nice 2-3 mile long walks. A lot of them.
Well, you don't have to carry a pack if it's just a day trip. Just carry water is all you have to do, and you can cover a lot of ground in a day.
And we have some absolute. I mean, there are beautiful trails. There are trails that run right along the rim of the New River Gorge. And I'm trying, and you know what? I always go to the Horn community for a lot of advice. I found out that, and I don't know if I can get away with this between my spleen being like it is. Remember, I can't play golf because I might rupture it on the backswing. But between my spleen and my cervical spine, I don't know if I can get away with this. But I'm thinking I would like to finally, after all these years, try some martial arts. And there's a guy who teaches Japanese martial arts, karate, judo, jiu-jitsu. And I'd really like to try that if I can. If my body will take it.
You can study the philosophy more. I had a teacher who was, a black belt and studied in China for 20 years, and he was sparring with one of his advanced students, and the guy, he zigged at the wrong time and didn't block a throw, and his neck's, permanently damaged from that. So I would say, you need to inform your teacher that.
Yeah,
maybe
that's not such a great idea.
I would say no, because, you're kind of a type A. You might go overboard and then really hurt yourself.
And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
I think the walking's good.
The walking's good. But I want something that lends a sense. You can't. There's no gradation of walking. You can't be a 13th degree black belt walker.
Oh, you need a piece of paper to say you achieved something.
Yeah, me and the Cowardly Lion. No. Who had to have the testimonial?
Bob, you're a man of accomplishment. I know you got, your kids growed up now and you still aspired, You've already left a legacy, brother.
Maybe Tai Chi.
just take up watching Bruce Lee movies. You get the same adrenaline rush.
I just can't see me doing yoga. And this just marks me out as an iconoclastic jerk, but I can't see me doing yoga because everybody and their cousin is doing yoga.
Well, do you have goat yoga in West Virginia?
If anybody's got goat yoga, I imagine it's West Virginia.
Well, it's I think it originates here in Oregon.
Is it really a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have a waiting list to get in the class.
Are there goats involved?
Oh, cute little baby goats, yeah, in the yoga class, yeah. Each person gets a goat.
I don't know. The more I think about it, maybe the beer hot tub in the Czech Republic is sounding better by the minute. it's the getting there part that's the pain in the ass.
Yeah, and also, I know you're not, a cannabis aficionado, but...
I was.
But California's going legal here next year, and all of Canada is 1st of July.
And hey, in 2019, Hillbillies in Pain can finally get a
patch, tincture, pill, or oil?
Well, not if not if Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions gets his way. He's doubling down on the marijuanas.
Oh my God!
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, because you know, because he's got nothing better to do. You know what? You know who else I bet hated the marijuanas? Putin and Hitler.
Oh yeah, they're all crank merchants. They want their people all hyped up and angry and not sleeping. A little bit borderline psychotic.
But there's got to be something out there that I can do that, you know, that's got some esoterics to it, and where I can say things like, yeah.
Have you ever done holotropic breath work?
If I did, I wasn't arrested for it.
Yeah, well, it's a way to trip on your own. I guess you build up carbonic acid and you start seeing things and having out of body experiences.
Oh, I don't want none of those. Clarity, my reality is more than weird enough.
So I guess I'm thinking through estrogen brains now. I don't see. I mean, I would enjoy being a little bit more secure protecting myself. But no, the idea of becoming a martial black belt just doesn't appeal to me at all. I'm too busy.
Good stuff, the estrogens.
Well, yes. Oh, that's another story. There's a shortage again of my injectable estrogen that my insurance will cover. And this other brand, they won't give a waiver for it. So I'm back on oral till the foreseeable future.
Isn't that hard on your liver?
The oral? Yeah, it's not as good. And I can't use the patch because I had a reaction to the glue on the patch that the insurance would pay for. So yeah, I'm back on it, and my endocrinologist is not very happy about it, but he said it's a supply side thing. It's not the doctor who prescribes its problem, he said in no uncertain terms. The ironic thing was that the health sciences where I go for my care, their pharmacy had just sent a bunch back because it had expired. So it's very ironic. But I just got my refills. I have to go in once a year to get my blood checked and everything before he will refill my prescription for my estrogen. But I need it.
I can imagine. Yes.
I need to take it because that's the hormone I'm running on. I have already removed the testosterone source in my body.
Which in the long run was probably good for you.
It was. I think I told you the story about what I went through as a teenager, right?
No.
Well, I hurt myself at the farm and had a strangulated testicle. And being shy young man I was, I waited until it was swollen up about the size of a baseball.
Yeah.
Before I told my grandmother. And, of course, she wanted to see it, and then it was a half-hour trip into town to see the doc, who he knew what it was, and he fixed it, you know, in fairly short order. Talk about a good feeling when it quit hurting. Then I got teased about it for years. It was a family joke, and, you know, don't twist them.
Yeah, no.
And I had testicular torsioning. So they were, you know, that was, I had a problem with the fascia. So they had too much mobility and would yo-yo up into a knot. So, yes, I was glad when they were gone. I should have done it a long time ago.
That's, you know, we went from the gutter to just plain harrowing. And, yeah.
Well, that's what's exciting about medicine. You get into the blood and gore.
Well, Clarity, it's been a delightful conversation.
It has. I guess, you know, I'll call you next time I cook some beans and we'll stir the fat.
Absolutely. Cooking with Clarity.
Yes.
That's and, you know what? That sounds downright zen.
Yeah, it does. Well, I hope some of our relationship, because you're sure rubbing off on me. I'm starting to talk like I live in Alabama now. I get a lesson in half English every afternoon.
Well, you know, when you go to town and you start saying y'all, or you know, asking after biscuits and sorghums and the occasional bowl of grits, I'll know that my work here is done.
Well, and now when I sing Margaritaville, I smell no shrimp, they're beginning to bawl.
Bawl.
They're beginning to bawl.
Yeah, B-A-W, bawl.
Bawl.
Yeah, it's like the stuff that you lubricate your automobile with, it's barely even a pronounced word. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. You got too much L in there yet, Clarity. Oh.
Well, see, that's from my vocal training. We're... You know, you're supposed to be able to enunciate so the people know what you're saying about. Well, happy solstice, Bob.
Happy solstice to you, Clarity. And
I got my last gig of the year tomorrow for the mental health people here in town. We're having a little potluck and gathering. So,
well, good, and good on you. Maybe you'll wander in and join us for Christmas on the front porch.
Yeah, I should be home. I'll probably talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, you take care, Clarity.
You bet. Love you. Bye.
Bye now. The one and only Clarity. And with that, we'll keep things going. Let me check in on the email. Okay. I've done another good deed for the evening. Got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. I have a bottle of Ouzo and two bottles of Metaxa my grandma gave me decades ago. As she handed them to me, she said, "Don't drink them." And laughing emoji. I loved my grandmother and heeded her warning. I have the three bottles on a table in my living room and can't figure out what to do with them because I want to unload them and free up space. Thanks for mentioning the shrimp sautéed in ouzo. Sounds like a start. Sounds like a plan. Sounds like dinner. Just be careful because that stuff's like 100 proof and I'm guessing it might flame kind of easy. So... You know, good advice. Meanwhile, David, our buddy, the angry architect in Australia, says with regard to martial arts, don't let anyone talk you out of judo. It's awesomeness. Suits many body types. And I've had two recommendations, one from Kid Mark, and again from our buddy, the angry architect. Try Wing Chun Kung Fu. See what works for you. See, I'm kind of limited in that regard, though, because remember, I don't live in civilization. But there, I might have a chance at some Tai Chi, but damn it. Well, you understand. Yeah, Ron and Raleigh telling me I'd stay away from the harder Japanese styles and go with softer internal Chinese arts like Tai Chi. There are bunches of Chinese styles that will increase your flexibility and core strength. Zen archery would be good if you can find an instructor. Again, civilization problems. Dan, and by the way, the other thing that I want to be part of this, I'd like to quit smoking. But I warn you, this program, and some would tell you it isn't already, this program may not be worth shit if I quit smoking. Just saying. But maybe it will. Yeah, start with the patch. Yeah. Again, I'm not a resolutions kind of guy. But I feel an urge to do what I can to make things better. And that does not include, you know, knocking down a six-pack of Krispy Kreme raspberry jelly donuts. It really doesn't. Exercise idea coming from Dan. Listening to your need to do something, my nephew is in the middle of a rowing race across the Atlantic Ocean. There's a race every 2 years from the Canary Islands to Antigua. His team of four rowers left last Thursday morning. So far, they've rowed 420 nautical miles. I couldn't do it, but if you're looking for an activity, sure, that's got to be great for the cervical spine. Thanks. Stop helping, Dan. Meanwhile, Steve from Georgistan says, man, I take a T injection one time a week with an estrogen blocker three times a week. Clarity and me are bass-ackwards. Well, yin-yang, cause-effect. There is balance and harmony in the universe. See, I'm already getting profound. When Kid Mark suggested Wing Chun, I thought for a minute there he was talking about the somewhat popular Canadian band from the late 80s, but it, never mind. So it's about 19 minutes before the hour, and lo and behold, Scott and Punky have joined us. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. Refresh my memory. Is ouzo that Greek beverage that tastes a little bit like licorice?
Yeah, it's an anisette, okay. And it's sweet and syrupy.
Well, I don't have any of that, but I'm thinking maybe I could do that ouzo shrimp recipe, pull out my trusty wok, and pour in the shrimp, and then sprinkle in some good and plenty candies, and maybe that'll be
well,
close
if you're
going
to go that route, just get the damn Twizzlers, Switzer's licorice. I remember being a kid being in St. Louis, and we were downtown, and I'm sure maybe it doesn't even exist anymore. Maybe it's been moved to freaking China. But there was an area of downtown St. Louis that had the most beautiful smell of licorice, and it was the Switzer's Licorice Factory. And then we toured the Budweiser distillery or brewery, and that place, malt, barley malt is sweet, and the combination of the aroma of the barley malt and the fresh hops was just transformative. But yeah, if you're gonna go that route, good and plenty's. Nah, it's probably got palm oil in it. By the way, that's a little crusade I'm on lately. In addition to reading labels for high fructose corn syrup, I now read labels for palm oil, and I try not to buy anything that has palm oil in it. Because the relentless search, the relentless production of palm oil is responsible for the destruction of massive amounts of primate habitat and forest land in Asia.
And there's also an ongoing back and forth about the relative merits or deficits of those cooking oils anyway. One week, some of them are good for you, and the other week, they're not so good for you, so who knows.
And by the way, let's just get this out of the way, Scott. A note from Brother Deacon Asa. Forget about ouzo, Scott. Where's the fucking money, Lebowski?
Well, I will do it. I'm telling you,
This is getting to be like the excuses in Monty Python's cheese shop sketch. Oh, the cat's eating it.
Well, I'll. It's the internet, Bob. It's the damned internet. The other day, I heard about this new thing that's been added to the internet. The nice folks over at WETH. TV in Arlington, Virginia, the PBS station serving our nation's capital, recently donated, made available at no cost to anyone, the entirety of the Senate Watergate hearings from 1973. Okay, and I posted about this on your Bob Kincaid Facebook and put the link up. And the other night I started watching that because I remember it from 73 when it was first on because it coincided with my first radio job, which was 6 to midnight. So I had the luxury in the daytime of watching the $10,000 pyramid or Price is Right or whatever I like to watch on daytime television. But then the Senate Watergate hearings popped up. I'm telling you, I didn't get to see it every day, so this is filling in all the blanks. It's a fascinating thing to watch, first of all. It's a time capsule taking us back to the magic year 1973. And I'm superimposing over it today's political world versus the political world back then. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what decorum and civility and bipartisanship was happening back in those long ago innocent days. You know, when people saw a need and then attempted to fill it, vis-a-vis Richard M. Nixon and his shenanigans. And as I posted on your Facebook today on Capitol Hill, the Democrats and Republicans can't decide on a lunch order without getting into a fist fight, you know? So it's a whole different world. And then I'm thinking, how would Trump and his minions fare in front of those people if we had that caliber of senator today? And I'm thinking not well.
Because he couldn't have gotten elected.
Oh, hell no. But anyway, and then I noticed on that same website, which I linked to on your Facebook, they also have the entirety, gavel to gavel, House Judiciary impeachment proceedings against Nixon. And I recommend it to anybody who has an internet connection and a bunch of time. It is instructive. It's inspiring, and it's instructive. But that's not why I called. But anyway, to answer the question.
Well, but you're still okay. More mail, Bill. Hey,
here
Scott. Excuses.
Yeah, it's a bit runny today. Oh, I like it runny. Oh, it's a little runnier than you like. I don't care how fucking runny it is.
Arthur says, "Oh no, don't blame E Shit Pie on this one, Scott. I'm moving my date back to January 18th, 2018."
Well, I'm going to surprise the entirety of the Horn family.
Maybe it can be your Christmas gift to the Horn.
There you go. That's a good idea. The only problem is I won't be able to give a review on Christmas Day front porch because I can't get in. What fucking version?
I got no idea.
No,
Hoghead meanwhile says, "Watch the fucking movie already, will ya?"
But here's my question. It's a tech support question, and I'm not asking you. I'm asking the listeners. Any listeners who use Skype on an iPhone, what version are they using, which enables them to get in fine? Because I can't get any word back from the moderator of the front porch to tell me what version is best to use with the one that he's using, because he's telling me, to the extent that he's in communication, that it's something to do with his upgrade of Skype, you know, and Skype people are of no help. So I thought maybe a listener who can actually get in using Skype on an iPhone could let me know what version to use, and I'll use that version. I mean, but that's, again, not why I called.
Okay, third time's the charm.
Yeah. I called about aspartame. You and Clarity were talking about Trump's massive consumption of Diet Coke.
Yes.
I drank that stuff like it was going out of style in the mid, early to mid-80s when Diet Coke was introduced. I don't know how much of that crap I drank. And this past Monday, the 18th of December, 2017, was the 28th anniversary of my surgery for removal of a walnut-sized tumor on my pituitary gland. And I can't prove it, but I will declare to my dying day, which I hope doesn't come anytime soon, that my consumption of massive amounts of aspartame had some connection to the development of that pituitary tumor.
Well, that's just like I'm convinced that somewhere along the way, my consumption of high fructose corn syrup rotted everything from my gallbladder across to my pancreas.
And what leads me to believe that it's affecting Trump is it wasn't just the pituitary that was affected by this. Right next door to the pituitary is something I didn't even know I had one of, and that's called the hypothalamus, which basically works in coordination with the pituitary in terms of endocrine function, but it also influences your four Fs, food, fear, flight, and fucking, okay? And if you whack up your hypothalamus, all manner of strange behavior may very well ensue. I'm not a doctor, but having been affected by these maladies, it's stuff that I've done research on, so I can speak with some confidence on the matter. But if he's drinking that much Diet Coke and ingesting that much...
And has been drinking it, it's not just that he's drinking that much.
Yeah.
It's how long he's been drinking it.
Yeah, he probably started drinking Diet Coke back
when it came out.
Yeah, exactly, which was what, about 84?
Yeah, which I don't get because I never liked it. I mean, now, when they came out with Coke Zero, caffeine-free Coke Zero tastes so much like an ordinary Coca-Cola, I can scarcely tell the difference. The one thing with all of these diet beverages, though, and Agnes pointed it out to me, and she's, you know, she doesn't have to watch her sugar or anything like that. She said, These damn things make you thirstier after you have one than they were when you started.
Well, I've never tried Coke Zero. What are they sweetening that with?
What's the stuff in the yellow package?
Is it Splenda?
Splenda,
Sucralose, yeah. Well, in 2002, I think, I discovered Diet Right, which had been reformulated. They had gotten rid of the aspartame. And Diet Right, to me, is the perfect cola because there's no sugar, there's no sodium.
And there's no caffeine.
Exactly. So you can drink it night or day. And it's you know, if I drink cola, Diet Right is my choice, although Pepsi recently reformulated, and they have a caffeine-free Pepsi, which also is without aspartame. But I don't know. I life is a terminal condition. I mean, none of us is getting out alive. What brand of cigarette do you smoke, by the way? Or do you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah. Well, given my choice, I would smoke nothing but Cuban cigars, but they're a little bit out of my price range.
Yeah.
Camel.
Camel filters?
These are like the blue package. So
yeah, but
what used to be Camel Lights?
Okay. Well, I had a friend, my conservative talk radio friend in Tulsa, Pat Richardson, used to smoke Carlton cigarettes. I don't even know if they make Carlton anymore. But they are so low tar and low nicotine that it's like sucking on hot air, okay? But Pat decided he was going to quit his two-pack-a-day Carlton habit. So it was when the patch first came out, the nicotine patch. And he reported back to the doctor that he was having all kinds of dizzy spells, and he thought maybe the patch had something to do with it. And it was a lady doctor, and so he went in, and she said, well, let's see if we can narrow this down. What type of cigarettes did you smoke? And he told her Carlton, ultra low tar, ultra low nicotine. Turns out he was getting dizzy from the patch because he was getting more fucking nicotine.
Depending on what you, that's the absolute truth. I tried those years and years and years ago. And you know, it wasn't just that it was like air. It was the fact that they tasted like stale black pepper.
Yeah.
And people who don't smoke can't understand that what the damn things taste like actually matters.
Oh, yeah, because because taste.
I can't cope with anything by what used to be Philip Morris, Altria, whatever. No Marlboro, none of that stuff. I'm pretty much an R.J. Reynolds guy.
Yeah.
I used to roll my own once in a while, but I can't cope with the real tobacco either.
Well, when I quit, which was in August of 1999, and I was a confirmed two-pack-a-day plus smoker and had been since I was 18 or thereabouts, and I quit using the Nicorette gum, and then several years after that, well, let's see when it was. It was quite a while ago by now, early 2000s. I was going through a rough patch, and I almost started smoking again, and I said, well, screw it. I'll just buy some Nicorette, okay? And what has happened, I won't say I've gotten hooked on the Nicorette, but I like the effect of nicotine, and I get it to this very day with Nicorette gum, and I get the benefits, so-called, of nicotine, the enjoyment
of
it.
Well, I figured out, I mean, this is
setting something on fire.
I've quit, you know. Quitting's easy. I've done it a million times. You've heard that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to, I really do. I want to get free of it. But, you know, it used to be that it was like, well, you know, I'm probably not going to quit because there is no way I'm ever going to drink a beer without lighting a cigarette. Have a highball without lighting a cigarette. So that's out of my life. It's not like I'm drinking the decaf for the, you know, for the boost. I just happen to like the taste of coffee. It's an acquired taste. I've never seen anybody taste coffee, any child, I've never, you know, or young adult, whatever. I've never seen anybody taste coffee the first time and go, wow, that's fucking great. So if I ditch the coffee, ditch the booze, yeah, I got a fighting chance, you know, and you know, I'll be slapping a patch on my arm, and every once in a while I'll lean over to it and just slap it again and give it a good rub, you know, get in there.
How many cigarettes a day do you smoke?
Oh, I'm a pack a day guy. And the vast majority of them are during the program.
Yeah, I'm not
You remember Tom Snyder?
Well, back in my radio days as a smoker, I would light the little bastards, take a drag or two.
And let them burn up in the ashtray.
Yeah, because you had other shit that had to get done.
There's probably at least six cigarettes a night during this program that happens to.
Yeah. So you're less than a pack a day. So you're ahead of the game already.
You're either a smoker or you're not a smoker. But you know, the funny thing is, once you get free of cigarettes and tobacco are not the same thing. And again,
no.
Non-smokers are not going to understand. Cigarette smokers who have quit are going to understand. If I go out and buy, you know, some of that really good roll your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can chain smoke those things, and eventually I'm going to have to light up one of these commercial products because of the manipulation of the nicotine content and the delivery of it and the way it metabolizes with all the other additives. Once I quit, I'll be able to, because I've got a little stash. People have been very kind to me. People who smuggle me Cuban cigars from places like Canada. I can light up a cigar and not Jones for a cigarette. It's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one of these people who I'm no friend of the cigarette industry. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to turn them all loose in the woods and just, you know, go hunting with a .30-06. I mean, they're animals. They are evil. Okay.
Well, and I'll tell you, Bob, as long ago as it's been that I quit smoking cigarettes, August of 99, almost 20 years ago, to this day, there are times when I want one. And if I could smoke two a day and be perfectly fine with that, hell, I mean, you probably get more pollution from a passing truck than you, you know, you get more lung problems from the pollution from a passing truck than you do a couple of cigarettes. But I know better than to even try that because I have what they call an addictive personality.
Oh, sure. You know, my dad was dying of COPD in hospice. Mm. And he said, you know what? I want a cigarette as long as my arm.
Yeah.
And it's probably the same thing that anybody who's been through any kind of an addiction goes through.
Well,
and frankly, I'm kind of a chicken shit about it.
What, afraid to quit?
Not afraid to, just don't want to be miserable. And scared to death that I'm going to balloon up to 300 freaking pounds, which will be probably worse on my system overall than whatever the cigarettes are doing to me.
Yeah. Well, it's like I say, life is a terminal condition. We're not getting out of it alive.
So that's why I'm trying to put together this whole package that involves, you know, daily long walks on trails. And because, I mean, it's not like I live in civilization and I can go walk down the sidewalk for a mile and walk back. We don't have sidewalks. Anybody who tries to walk along the road that runs about a quarter of a mile from my house,
yeah,
just has a death wish. We got one dude that walks all over the place here. He's legendary. He's been hit like 5 times.
And there's
people out there going, wait a minute, why are they talking about it? Hey, you know, conversation radio. Hoghead in the chat room just said, I had vivid dreams of smoking the first year or so. I had nightmares when I was quit, where I would have been quit for like years and years and years. And in the dream, you just pick one up and you light it and you go, oh, God damn it. Now I got to quit all over again.
Well, and let me be clear about this. I mean, it's not like the first time I quit, it stuck. Because the first time I quit was in the months surrounding my surgery 28 years ago, simply because of the way they did the surgery. It was an up-the-nose transnasal thing, because that was the shortest route to the problem that they were trying to correct. And I quit for 4 months surrounding the surgery and was out at a bar with my radio cohorts one day and bummed a cigarette, and that was it. It was off to the races. So,
yeah, and it's like you never quit and you have to catch up then. You smoke harder than you did before. Hey, Scott, I just realized we've talked right through the top of the hour. I got to get out of here, bud.
All right. Well, hopefully next time I'm in communication, I will forego the Senate Watergate hearings and satisfy the movie review cravings
just,
of...
No, we just want to welcome you into the cult, Scott.
Oh, okay.
That's all. We just want to welcome you into the cult.
All right. Well, I will make it be my... It's a good idea. Make it my Christmas gift to the Warren family.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Bob.
All right. Take it easy, Scott. My best. Our best at the holidays to Punky and Chirps.
Oh, I rearranged the living room yesterday, and they're tremendously happy with the new arrangement.
Wonderful. Well, we will talk soon.
You can hear them being happy. Anyway, goodbye.
Later now. That's our buddy Scott and Punky and Chirps, who never chimes in. I guess ironically named. Calling from San Diego. Time to get out of here. I enjoyed the heck out of a fundraising free program. And I'm going to enjoy the next 6 as well. I hope you do too. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Sparky and Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.